Amos 8. Now, Amos was a country man. He was a agricultural guy. And verse 1, the Lord showed me, behold, a basket of summer fruit. He said, Amos, what do you see? I said, a basket of summer fruit. Well, it's kind of obvious, right? He knew that this was summer. It was harvest time. This was fruit. Well, sometimes God does put the obvious question to us, just to help us just see the obvious. The idea simply was that fruit comes. The fruit of behaviour comes. And looking at this a bit closer, the word for summer is very similar to the word for end. He showed me a basket of summer fruit, of end fruit. And he said, what do you see? I said, a basket of summer fruit. Then Yahweh said to me, the end, the summer, has come on my people Israel. It seems that from chapter 7 of Amos, Amos has been thrown out from the 10 tribes. He's been banished from the 10 tribes. And this is God's encouragement to him. He sees the summer fruit that he'd seen, you know, grown up with this kind of thing. He knew exactly, yeah, sure, it's harvest time. This is summer. This is the fruit that comes in summer. This is the end fruit. And the simple point, and it's so simple, so profound, is that all human behavior has its fruit. And the fruit that Israel were bearing by throwing him out of Israel was going to be their judgment. So fruit will surely come. All our days and years are spent cultivating, if you like, and the fruit will come. Ultimately, in the day of judgment, the decision there that we shall enter God's kingdom is going to be a reflection of how we lived now. This is the point. So every little thing that goes on in our lives will have its fruit. This is the very, very simple point. And yet we slip through our lives all too easily on some sort of autopilot, assuming that, well, actually, no, I don't know. I'm just busy, tied up doing my thing. But you've got to look beyond what is immediately in front of your nose. There is ultimately a sowing in your life. You are sowing one way or the other. And if you are sowing to emptiness, then that is what you will reap. In verse 7, in that context, God says, surely I will never forget any of their works. And I think that was comfort to Amos. They just chucked him, as it were, out of fellowship. They just chucked him out of the 10 tribes. You, prophet, don't come here giving us all your Yahweh stuff and your telling us that we shouldn't be living as we are. Go to Judah, but get out of here. You're banished. And God says, surely I will never forget any of their works. There is the tendency in us to assume that the passage of time works some kind of quasi-atonement for our sins. We forget them, or the reality of our sin fades, and we can assume that it's like that with God. This is a basic human tendency. There are, in some countries, legal structures, laws of tort, they're called, whereby if something was done 30 years ago or whatever, well, that's okay. The passage of time means you got away with it. And even in countries where that is not practiced, you will often hear the argument, but that was ages ago. I mean, give the guy a chance, give him a break. I mean, that was, when was this? This was 30 years ago. This is when the guy was a kid, was a youngster. Yeah, he's an old man now. The thing is, God says, I will never forget any of their works. God doesn't deal like that. Sin has to be dealt with and atoned for. And it's therefore absolutely critical to repent immediately of our sins. There you are, standing at a bus stop, sitting on a tram, driving in your car, and you are smitten in your conscience. Stop, bow your head, pray, pull the car over. Ask for forgiveness. This is absolutely a critical part of hour by hour, almost, spiritual life. Because also, it is by rising up from your knees, repentant, knowing that you are cleansed and forgiven, feeling so small before God, it is by those things that we live spiritually. That is when man is never better before God. That is so critical. It's critical in regular experience as a Christian that we have that experience. So God is encouraging Amos, in a sense, I will never forget any of their works. And look at the summer fruit. Look at what's right in front of you. Do you not see that actually all the cultivation that goes on in human character and personality, by all the little things of daily life, it will bear its fruit in the end. And he gives an example. He says, verse 5, they say, oh, when will the new moon be gone that we may sell grain, and the Sabbath end that we may market wheat, making the ephah small, the shekel large, dealing falsely with balances of deceit. All those were internal attitudes, were secret sins, wishing that the new moon festival would be over so that we can get back to business. When will the Sabbath finish so that we may sell our wheat? This was an internal attitude, and it's in that context that God says, I will never forget any of their works. These apparently sort of very internal, private, apparently not significant attitudes would be remembered by the God who does not forget. Now, you can criminalize attitudes in the world. Well, so what if a guy is longing for his religious Sabbath to end so that he can get back to work? Well, what's wrong with that? Well, for God, there was an issue. Making the ephah small and the shekel large, dealing falsely with balances of deceit. To be credible and to get away with deceiving people when you're selling your food and your wheat in the marketplace, they would have had to just make the shekel just a fraction larger, and the balances of deceit, the deceitful balances they had, could have only been tampered with just slightly in order to, you know, to still be credible. God notices petty hidden sins. And he mentions this here, and we think, well, why does he mention it? Why doesn't he go on about idolatry or child sacrifice or something? And I think the point is that tweaking balances, doing petty hidden sin, weighs heavily with him. Hosea twice laments this use of deceitful balances. Micah does as well. The Proverbs do as well. And in fact, we are told in the Proverbs that such dishonest balances are an abomination to Yahweh. Now, an abomination to Yahweh is the phrase that is usually used about idolatry. And this is the point, that the petty sins in human judgment, the secret sins, the sins of attitude, when will the Sabbath end that we may sell our wheat, they are the things that God says, I will never forget. And you come back to what we started with. What's that, Amos? It's a basket of summer fruit, right? End fruit. Quite simply, fruit comes. You will bear fruit. And that fruit will be the result of inner attitudes, what the world would call petty sin, hidden sin, stuff which, you know, is internal attitudes, when will the Sabbath end, etc. This is the stuff of spiritual life. This is what hour by hour, moment by moment spirituality is about. And the great comfort is, as well as the challenge, that it will contribute to the final fruit. Because just as surely as Amos was shown what was dead obvious, what is this? Well, it's a basket of summer fruit, of course. Simple idea is that, yes, there will be the end fruit. And the end fruit is the fruit of moment by moment behavior now.